Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, South Africa isn't just battling crime on the streets, it's also under siege in cyberspace. Last year alone, nearly every local business faced a cyber infiltration attempt, and the average breach now costs over 53 million rand. Criminals, it seems, are moving faster than we can regulate, and they're blending physical and digital attacks in ways that most companies are still largely unprepared for. Tonight we're asking, can artificial intelligence paired with some human insight finally turn the tide? To unpack this, I'm joined by Christopher Thornhill, CEO of Fungela Security, whose integrated model is already tackling everything from violent crime to ransomware. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. We know the numbers are stark. Maybe you could just start by setting the scene here and the scale of the problem in South Africa. How do physical crime and cybercrime intersect for South African businesses?
Great. Thanks, Michael. I think there's overlapping factors that appears on several levels. A company no longer has its biggest threat with somebody jumping over the wall and stealing a copper pipe or a tap or some of your stock. It's much more integrated. I think the thing that we've realized is that the criminals are also spending time in boardrooms, their own boardrooms, where they have a lot of more background and backing financially to support their attempts to extract as much from you as possible. So where the cyber does come in is where it becomes a much more formal degree of crime, where they are allowed into your organization via phishing emails. They've got access to data. And the thing that we've picked up is that happens a lot is they go after smaller files where they get attached to your insurance policy, maybe they'll try and get hold of, where they can immediately see what is your cyber insurance that you have in place. Then they know exactly what the ransom is that they can request. So they're getting much smarter and a much more detailed approach, or what do you want to, a focused approach in the attempts that they do via cyber. And that can get from, I mean, your insurance policy, you share freely with tender approaches, you share it with other people. So without you knowing, you're putting something out there that can in future jeopardize your credibility with regards to, or your attempt to negotiate with ransom holders on your cyber information. And through the crippling effect of that, they've got access to your CCTV cameras, they've got access to your financial information, your stock values, your stock holdings in certain areas. So it becomes, all of that is on your insurance document. All of that is linked to a person that's got access to various degrees of your business that you might not even have as a business owner or a business decision maker. You might not have all these things on hand, but they're sitting with all that information when they make decisions on which companies to go after with regards to cyber attacks or physical attacks, whether it is stock, transit stock, or warehouses that can be hit.
Often when you talk about cybersecurity, and you know, I attend conferences and they say you can have the best firewalls, the best technology stack, but it's the human element that becomes the weak link in your cyber defenses. How is that being exploited with the rise of artificial intelligence? Are we talking about, you know, the ability for the attackers to spoof a human into handing over the information? How are you seeing AI being used by the attackers before we talk about how we can turn it around on them?
Yes, so AI definitely creates the opportunity for them to attack a lot more. They're casting their net much wider. So when the previous idea of cybercrime is, or phishing was, it's an individual sending an email to an individual. So there was human elements to it. The AI has created an opportunity for them to, at a press of a button, they can send a million emails to different various databases and see what comes back. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to now individually anymore wait on someone to reply to see if there's an opportunity. They cast the net as wide as they can, and someone will bite. Someone will not be trained. Someone will not be educated. Someone will not understand. Someone will be under threat. I mean, there's SARS emails where they state, listen, yeah, you have this amount outstanding, or you have a statement of account, you can click here, and they get access to, they lure you in by creating panic. So there's the SARS ones that's busy happening. It's the import taxes with all the Temu stuff that's taking place, all the online stores from China, other ones as well. It's opportunities that they create via where you feel it's something that's close to you, although it isn't impacted on you, but you feel it's possible that this email can be real. So I'm going to click on it because I want to save embarrassment in case I didn't do something correctly.
Yeah.
So they're casting the net much wider, and that's what the AI creates, more opportunity for them. And they can be more detailed. They can work through a lot more data. They can work through a lot more possible targets in a shortest time span.
Now, your team at Vangela is talking about an integrated model that marries, in order to defend against these attackers, AI with human judgment. So let's talk about AI's role first. And you've spoken about speed and scale and the ability to cut through the noise. What specifically can AI do better than traditional security systems? And where do you draw the line and say, right, this is actually where human interpretation is still critical?
So in an incident where it's a physical threat, let's first go to this physical side of it. So on the physical side, the AI creates an opportunity for you to investigate less incidents or less opportunities for criminals so that you can be a much more focused approach. If you had to have someone view a CCTV screen on live streaming and real time the whole time, if you miss something, you missed it. If you are quickly looking down at your cell phone or you're quickly responding to another call, you miss something. So the AI has created an opportunity for us where we put rules in place on the cameras. It works. Eventually, it becomes smart enough to build its own rules to an extent of this. It realizes this is a regular occurrence on a certain time of day, so this is an acceptable incident. But it creates an opportunity to monitor more effectively and react more focused on an actual incident. So it's not spending time investigating something that's not an incident or not a threat. It's more focused. It creates more a prompted approach for us on, right, on how we react to incidents.
And then when it comes to the human judgment, because as impressive as AI is, it certainly can't read intent or motive. You know, it can flag anomalies and do that exceptionally well.
Yes.
As you say, going over, you know, hours and hours of data in an instant almost. How do you then train and equip your people to interpret what the AI is telling them?
I think we've all been through playing or working on ChatGPT or any of the other prompting AI platforms. You're still the one prompting it. You're still the one teaching it what to do or what you would like to know. It's got some of the information. So similarly there, we train our people how to react when something does happen. What is the steps to take? We put in place standard operating procedures for certain threats, certain impactful items, and also how to work the system. The main thing is for your operator and your controller to know what they're working with, what it's capable of, and then from there, what is the next step? So on our sites, we've got cheat sheets. On these cheat sheets, we've got a map for the controller to advise the person on site, where's the stock cock if there's a water leak, who's the closest ambulance, police service, fire service. All of those things are still built in on something that has to react. Someone still has to decide if someone falls, is it a medical advanced life support, is it an ambulance, is it a first aid respondent? So those things are still human elements that come in place. Or if there's a transgression that happens and the perpetrator's been caught, who gets notified? So it's still, there's still a human element in the reaction and the apprehension of the incident or the perpetrator.
I must say, one case that stood out in your release was the phishing attack tied to SIM card fraud, where extortion escalated all the way to death threats. Can you just walk us through how your team handled that incident and what are the lessons that businesses should take from it?
Yes, great. So the opportunity there was within an organization that we look after, where it became prevalent that there was phishing attacks on the entity, and it was done through the SIM card fraud of SIM swapping and someone impersonating a known person. And through that profile, they create the opportunity where they phone from a known number, they know how to react, they know what to ask for, they know what to put in place. And that was basically tracking it back to where the telecommunication company, finding out where and when the SIM swap or SIM fraud took place, and having to backtrack basically all of those steps to find out where the source is and who would gain from something. So it's in our investigations department, we've got specialist investigators that they basically tread very closely to the dark web. They investigate on the dark web. Where does someone go and sell your information? Who is selling your information? Who's in the market for your information? And from there, you can track it back to the originator of the threat.
I mean, it really, I think it brings it home that these things are not just in like a Clancy novel. You know, they're real. They're happening every day. And I think that's what makes it so frightening, but also so sobering that we see so much complacency. I mean, when you look at it, Chris, I mean, the average data breach is said to cost just over 50 million rand. So why do you think that so many businesses still underestimate their exposure? And what's the first red flag that should really tell a company it needs to take prevention seriously?
I think Firstly, all companies should take prevention seriously. I think that should be your goal now. I mean, when you leave your house, you lock your door. You don't leave it open and to chance and see what happens. You should do the same with your business. You should make sure that at all times your business is locked to anyone that's trying to benefit from anything or not benefit someone to try and exploit you of anything. So that's the approach, firstly, that should be taken. But I think the complacency comes with, it's not going to happen to me. I know better. I know when there's a spam call. I know when there's a spoof email. But that might be in your position as the owner or decision maker in the company where you've either encountered it or you said, as you mentioned, you've been through the sessions in your profession. Some of your blue-collar workers or some of your people don't know what information they are sharing with whom and also how it is stored responsibly, how it is maintained. And also then, I mean, in a finance department, there's vulnerabilities. In a finance department, there's vulnerabilities in your tendering department. Every department in your company, there is vulnerabilities, whether you like it or not. So an employee that is struggling financially is a target, and they are the ones that might react to a spoof email or might be inclined to take a backend for information to be shared or access to be shared. So it is those things, unfortunately, where training is of the utmost importance with every level of employee that works with information or data in your company.
Yeah, and I think, again, inside a business, that then speaks to the culture of the organization. You know, how in tune are you with your employees all throughout the business at every level? And also shifting that culture as well from one of being maybe embarrassed or silent towards something that's more open and collaborative and in sharing their experience and intelligence. Chris, it's certainly clear that the threat landscape is only growing more complex. Just as a final question, if you're going to look 5 years ahead, how do you see the kind of integrated model that you're really pioneering, blending this AI-driven monitoring, cyber services, human analysts and awareness? How do you see that reshaping the way that South African businesses think about protecting their assets and their people and their reputations?
I would say, firstly, the main thing, in 5 years' time, I think there will be a much higher AI adoption by companies to use that to look after them, detection and also prevention. I think that the training portion, as previously mentioned, I think that's the most important. People will, as you have first aid training and you have firefighting training, level one, level two, level three, you'll have cyber attack threat training where that's a standard for anyone that works with digital information or any information of your company. So I think those are things that'll start popping up a bit more and a bigger requirement. You'll only be trading also with companies that's responsible, that can prove a responsible grading, if you want to call it that, with regards to cyber and information. I think back in the day, it was 2012, 2011, they started working on the PIA manuals when the original Protection of Access to Information Act was prompted. It's grown into poppy and all those things, but there's still no legislation that forces you to train your people to act responsibly. That's on yourself. So I think that'll be something that we'll see a lot more of, and also the adaption of how do you react. So your reaction to, there might be an AI, there might be ways to more levels of security built into information sharing or email data and email sharing that will take place. But yeah, 5 years from now, I think in 5 years, a lot can happen. I mean, 5 years ago, we barely had COVID, and look what has happened since then. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting time for us, but also a lot of opportunities for criminals to grow in those spaces, which unfortunately, they're also growing, not in numbers, but in their experience and in how they spend time on things and work into new methods of getting past your things that you put in place.
No, increasingly sophisticated and using those tools. If you're not using them in defense, the attackers certainly are. Chris Thornhill, CEO of Fungela Security, thank you very much for sharing these insights and just for helping us rethink what security really means in a digital high crime environment like South Africa here on Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.